Probably most of you have heard about the news today regarding Amelia Earhart and what has been found. History has changed today, in my opinion, and the opinion of many others as well. Amelia Earhart and her navigator, Fred Noonan, vanished July 2nd, 1937, about 4 years, give or take, before we were formally at war with Japan. We were not at war with Japan at the time. So Amelia Earhart, as a private American citizen, and Fred Noonan were flying around the world. And you know the story. She disappeared July 2nd, 3 days ago, in 1937. So, what happened? Somebody going through the National Archives, now declassified, in which that time period was represented, found a photo. And I don't know, through instinct or luck, looked at that photo and began to add things together. We've got the story up at the top of the homepage. The video is up there. I want to congratulate the History Channel. Apparently this Sunday night is a two-hour documentary on this whole thing. We know now what happened to Amelia Earhart and her navigator. We're going to talk about that this hour and perhaps some other things later on. But to do that, we've got two people who are uniquely qualified to step in and talk about this. And first, I want to mention Yoichi Shimatsu, who is standing by and will be with us in just a few minutes. He is, without question, one of the world's preeminent environmental writers and geopolitical analysts. He has made massive contributions to this program and website, as you well know, regarding Fukushima and many other things, including Pizzagate. And he has even written about Amelia Earhart and the truth about her in the past. So let me first just say hello to Yoshi. Are you there, Yoshi, now?
Yeah, I'm in Hong Kong. I've been in South Korea, as you probably know, investigating the disinformation, the false flagism, all the stuff that's been going on there by the, not just the U.S. Army Ballistic Command, but all by Blackwater. You know, they have a front group, a Native Alaskan corporation called Chenega, which is staffed by people from Academy, which are Blackwater, which run most of these X-band radar sites that are attached to the missiles. The missiles themselves don't work. Raytheon missiles do not work, folks. See what happened in Iraq, all these tests at Kwajalein Island, which is right where, in fact, Amelia Earhart was at Kwajalein Island, in fact. You know, that's a testing ground, and one of the reasons it's a testing ground so you can't get in there to get any evidence about Amelia Earhart. This pattern of disinformation, it shocks me. I'm a pretty hardened journalist. I've been at it a long time.
Yeah.
I'm astounded, and I'm really grateful also that History Channel is exposing this thing, but I think there will also be a lot of factual issues here as to the Japanese capture, execution, and the Roosevelt administration's rather dubious role. And don't leave out the British. The British were right there in the vicinity.
Yeah. We're going to get to that in a few minutes.
Collusion that's gone on a long time, and in fact, continues to affect everything around us today.
Okay. Yeah, Yoshi is right on. We're going to talk to him about that in just a few minutes. But first up is our colleague, Richard Allgaier, one of the world's premier remote viewers, who has a lot to say about the Amelia Earhart disappearance and remote viewing. Dick, welcome back. This has been very enlightening to me. I didn't know you did this years ago.
Oh, hi, Jeff, and hi, Yoichi. The group that I trained with in the 1990s, that was the biggest project. That was one of our biggest projects. It has been unpublished, but we have a safe full of material on that. So we did a lot of work, and I can get into how that happened. But we're very interested in this feedback. Why is it that people are so interested in Amelia Earhart after all these years? It's there's still a fascination with that.
There is. There's several reasons. I guess when somebody essentially vanishes, two people, into the unknown, it's a mystery. And you know what they say, the world loves a mystery. This is certainly one of the most dramatic mysteries of our, well, the last century, for sure. So tell us, Dick, if you will, about being tasked and some of the work that you can share with us about Amelia Earhart and what you, if you can share it, what you determined had happened to her. And this is going back 10 years ago.
Oh, no, this was almost 20 years ago.
20 now.
And let me say at the outset that Courtney Brown and Farsight Institute, Courtney Brown actually has very little interest in Amelia Earhart and has never tasked that. So anything I'm talking about is not a Farsight Institute, not Dr. Courtney Brown work.
Okay.
This precedes my work with him. It was a group I was training with in Honolulu starting in 1997. And what we would do, we had classes with up to 16 viewers at a time doing months and months of training. And normally we would work validation targets where we'd come in, we'd get a lecture, we'd learn new techniques, and then the instructor would hold up an envelope with letters or numbers on it.
That's all. Letters and numbers. Right.
A1, B2, C3, D4. That's your target today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, it was just to determine if we were able to identify a known target. The Brooklyn Bridge, the White House, the Battle of Gettysburg. You know, any number of things that were completely verifiable, validatable. And every once in a while, we'd get a target that would have a different type of tasking. Instead of just letters or numbers, it would be a combination, like alphanumeric, L7B3-Q1Z8. Mm-hmm. You know, and we'd know, okay, this is an important target. But that would be all we'd be told.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd work it as a class. And about every 6 months or so, we'd turn in our work, and the instructor would say, okay, tonight's feedback was Amelia Earhart. You know, the target cue was Amelia Earhart disappearance event, July 2nd, 1937. And we'd go, oh, okay, and look at our data. And we'd turn that in. It would all be collected. And we knew that the group had an ongoing project. We had several ongoing projects. We were working the Anasazi Indians. Why did they leave the Southwest? What happened to their culture? We were working manned mission to Mars. What was happening on Mars with man on Mars? And a number of disappearances and other things. But these operational targets were always put in like few and far between. So if we would work Amelia Earhart, say, in January, and we're aware of Amelia Earhart, then we'd be working the Brooklyn Bridge, the tornado in Galveston or whatever else. And then it would be about 6 months. So the viewer would have Amelia not in their mind, and it would get slipped to us again. We'd go, well, this was Amelia Earhart again. Like, where's the airplane? And when you're doing a mystery like this, it's very important how you task it. What is the cueing? Is it like Amelia Earhart's remains, current time, the Amelia Earhart's Electra, current location, Amelia Earhart disappearance event, you know, what happened prior to her going down? Mm-hmm. And what we found was it working the disappearance event, if you're working that as a remote viewer and the plane ran out of gas or had engine trouble and spiraled into the ocean and crashed and they died and it sank to the bottom, that would be one event. That would be a pretty straightforward thing to perceive. And what we found in working this over number of years, I think we worked it, because it's starting in 97, 98, and I know it was being given out in this century, in the 2000s. So we might have accumulated 30, 40 sessions or more.
That's amazing. That's probably your most common session.
But, you know, I can remember three or four times that I was tasked it. So, and what we found was the disappearance event seemed to be a longer story than what we would have thought. Let me explain. Viewers were all over the place. Like, one person might have said, well, I saw two people. I think one was a woman. The woman was injured and she was lying down. There was a man. He was tied to a chair and there were armed guards. There were men with rifles holding them prisoner. And that was some actual data that we got. And it took one or two viewers an hour to just say that much. Never, you know, you might work it and have no idea that it was Amelia Earhart. That's not how remote viewing works. I know it's been presented lately that every viewer calls target and figures out what it is and gets every aspect of the target. But the truth of it is, you just get little glimpses, good data and bad data, and it's, you don't really understand. It's just fleeting little right. bits and pieces.
We want to keep in mind that this is legitimate time travel is what you're doing.
Yeah, we're going back into the actual event.
Right.
So I remember, I believe one viewer saw an airplane being lifted aboard a boat, like a crane or ropes, lifting an airplane. And other viewers at some point said, well, we see an airplane being pushed into the ocean, you know, being pushed over a boat. And that doesn't make sense to us at the time. Like, okay, how did Amelia Earhart crash? Well, her plane was pushed off a barge. You're starting to get that? We need to put this through analysis. Now, we've got pages and pages and pages of data that's locked in a safe. It was never published. The curator of the data always said, you know, I said, let's publish it. And he'd say, well, no, let's hold off. It's too good. It's too valuable. I don't want to throw it out there. We may
yet see it. Maybe this History Channel will.
I think it'll be published someday, especially if they solve the mystery. Now, as for the time, you know, it should have been published before this event. I guess you have to take our word that it's there. We've got.
Right.
I mean, it's old, yellowed paper. It was done in the 1990s. So,
but if
it's
you were there,
Dick,
that's good enough for all of us. We know you. So,
yeah.
Now, so the viewing, and I'm going to get one more question from you, then go to Yoshi. The viewing you did on this target, can you tell us what you came up with that would be relevant to the History Channel?
I worked it a couple times and got not very good contact, actually. I think maybe the first time I worked it, and I haven't seen my session in 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being not impressed with my performance, like, oh, my God, that was Amelia Earhart, and I didn't get an airplane, you know. So I do remember one time working it where I got really good target contact, where I saw a woman who was in distress, who was very frantic, very frightened, injured, in a cockpit, trying to get a radio to work. Like, trying to key a radio and like, oh, my God, this doesn't work. Emergency, danger, oh, my goodness, you know. Fright, frustration, injury, and I saw her in the. I remember when I got the feedback, I went, "Oh my God, I saw Amelia Earhart, and she was alive after the plane had gone down." What our data showed, and we actually have a sketch of an island that I know they published an island, the History Channel, and I want to see that because we had a sketch of an island that I took about. 8 years ago to the University of Hawaii, they have a tremendous map section. This was prior to Google Earth. They had maps of that area of the Pacific, and I took it to experts saying, I need to find this island. If I give you the shape of this island, can we find it? And they were trying to help me, and we were trying to identify that because we had seen the island. What our story showed was the plane came down in a lagoon near this deserted island. They were injured. They got to shore. And then we saw them hurt, bruised, stomach problems. Somebody, I think, a broken leg. And I'm recalling a long time ago. It wasn't exactly my data. Being held prisoner, the airplane being recovered, the airplane dumped in a deep part of the ocean, and the people being held against their will. So
that, very interesting.
That was one of the scenarios.
All right. Now, remember, for all of you who are new to remote viewing, nothing is 100%, and 60-70% is considered to be very good. Some of the viewers, like Dick, are often actually much higher than that on their percentage of hits. Let me go to Yoshi now. Yoshi, if you don't, I'm sure many of you know his work. It speaks for itself. Japanese American, he understands World War II like no one else I've ever known. And tell us your view of this situation, Yoshi. We're going to go right through the break at the bottom of the hour.
Well, I would say this remote viewing account is like 100% correct. Just some of the events may be out of order, like the when the airplane actually sank in the water. You know, so these are associations, of course. People may be very skeptical about it, but you know, a lot of the remote viewing program was actually purchased by Sony. The Sony Group, you know, which is actually kind of a defense contractor, not just an an entertainment group, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of people working on it. There's a thing called social memory, but there's also, you know, we the inside and outside, you know, the electromagnetism of the Earth and all. There are scientific explanations we don't have to get into here, but there is a validity there, and certainly those what was just stated absolutely validates what I heard in Tokyo. Now, you know, this is a shock to America, but, you know, many people in the Japanese media, I guess the intelligence services, the Navy, Japanese Navy, the people on the Marshall Islands are very well aware that Amelia Earhart was alive and the Marshall Islands was captured and executed. So it may be a huge breaking news story in America. That's only because of the incredible ability of the federal authorities to, you know, suppress information in the United States, in the land of the free, where, you know, the Constitution guarantees a free press, and the press has collaborated with these cover-ups. So, so basically, from what I can gather so far, you know, based on, I mean, these were discussions that were happening in the 80s and 90s when I was working in Tokyo at the Japan Times. We would sometimes discuss the Earhart. We didn't run a lot because it might offend the American armed forces in Japan, but we knew about the fact. Basically, she has been in contact with President Roosevelt. I believe met him personally before she departed on her world circling trip, the first by a woman. That apparently he was interested in the Japanese construction, the Japanese military construction of the airfields in the southern part of the Marshall Islands. And these, in the Southern Marshalls, they abut into the Gilbert Islands, which were controlled by Britain. And, of course, America had Howland Island off to the east. So this would be the southern and westernmost Japanese military facilities facing Hawaii and California. So he had an interest in that.
Uh-huh.
And I guess part of the deal was that he would offer her some support from the government. I guess it's all secret. This is speculation right now, in exchange for some information about that. Now, I don't know exactly. I think one of the key mysteries is whether Amelia Earhart had a camera aboard her plane. I believe she did. There were a lot of pictures taken of her flight wherever she went. So I believe she had probably a pretty good camera equipment and was ordered or encouraged by the president to take photos of these Japanese airfields. So she left Papua New Guinea, crossed over, and she was supposed to cross over the Gilbert Islands, British territory, but she was on a northward, you know, she was above that northward latitude and was heading to Howland Island. And there were a lot of radio exchanges with Howland. She could follow the radio beam. You know, she had a direction finder. And she could reach this American-controlled little island. It's a guano collecting island in the middle of the South Pacific. And so she flew over the Japanese islands. From the accounts I could gather from Tokyo, she was intercepted by two Nakajima fighters, Japanese Navy airplanes, and was forced to land. Okay, they sort of tailed her, came up to her, made radio contact, and forced her to land on Mili Atoll, which is a westernmost point of the Marshall Islands. It's the most tiny little atoll, got a small lagoon. It sort of runs in an east-west direction. And apparently she made, now the problem was it's a dirt airfield under construction and very short at the time. So obviously the plane overran. She landed, she's a great pilot, of course, and she could land in a bush. There's no problem there. You know, I mean, if anyone could land a plane on a short field, she did. The Lockheed, pretty big airplane for its time, twin engine, I think a couple of 400 horsepower engines, mm-hmm. carrying a lot of weight for this trip. And so a lot of fuel off of Papua New Guinea. So she landed, probably did a fairly hard landing and tried to break it real fast, and then ended up in the atoll. It overran the airfield. And that's how Noonan got his leg, and he got a leg injury, bad leg wound, and he was bashed on the head also, okay? So that would confirm everything said so far.
Wow. Dick Allgaier, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, the plane was taken out, and it was sent by barge up to Saipan. Meanwhile, she was, well, what happened is the Japanese ordered her arrest because they knew she was on a spying mission. They had long anticipated. She knew they were coming their way, okay? So it was no surprise. That's why these two fighter aircraft were patrolling, just waiting for her. They had, there was no radar at the time, but they were listening on. This is why her messages were so abrupt and short. She's trying to talk in code, and she's trying to avoid detection by the Japanese aircraft that were waiting for her in the sky, okay? And so she was taken to nearby Jowit Island Atoll, where there was a Japanese naval base. They didn't know what to do. Apparently, there was a lot of confusion because the headquarters was far to the north in Saipan, and there was a lot of mixed confusion. And then she was flown to Kwajalein. Kwajalein is now the missile launch. You know, this is where they fire from Vandenberg missiles down to Kwajalein.
Yeah.
This is where the THAAD interceptor program is at.
Right.
She was taken there, kept there, and then eventually flown by seaplane to Saipan. The decision, what happened is the Japanese, when they saw the world headlines, they were astonished. They just thought she was on a secret mission. The Americans would bury all detail about her. They completely misjudged the situation. They didn't realize that she was such a huge international hero. She was the best-known woman of her time, the best-known feminist of her time. She was also one of the best-known, what do you call it, colleagues of Charles Lindbergh. They called her Lady Lindbergh.
Yeah.
So there was a huge outcry around the world. So the Japanese panicked. They gave her a trial, found her guilty for espionage, and put her in prison. And then the plane was a problem. Apparently they put that on a barge and towed that up to Saipan. And it was sitting on the airport there. And the plane was actually captured in 1944, summer of 44, the Americans landed on the Marshall Islands. They seized Saipan, and they actually had the Lockheed Electra in its possession.
You're kidding.
Army.
This is a big deal.
It was captured by the Americans. Many dozens of Americans and Marshallese saw the plane there. Now, what happened, the plane was unflyable because the Japanese Navy, apparently they took parts from the plane, okay, and dumped them in the Gilberts, okay, some parts from the plane. So the Americans, they sat there in the airport in Saipan for, upwards of a year waiting for parts to be shipped in. They had to repair the plane. Then they flew it off, okay? So the American Army under Truman knew very well all about, Roosevelt was still president. Was Roosevelt still president? It was somewhere. Roosevelt was still alive. Roosevelt, the guy who sent out a mission. It was a top secret operation, but the plane was in plain
sight. The plane may be in our hands right now somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. It's either hidden away in a warehouse or they deliberately flew it and it sank it, or on the way toward American base, it just sank. You know, the plane just sort of stopped. You know, it was a powerful plane. But maybe there was some sort of mechanical problem. So it wasn't the Japanese that destroyed the plane. You know, they took pieces out to seed the ground, you know, false breadcrumbs down in the British side. And so this was a massive cover-up. But to understand the reason for the cover-up, you got to understand the political context at the time. That's very, very important to understand why the British, and Roosevelt was essentially an agent of the British, as we all know, why Roosevelt, you know, wanted on one hand to defend America from a possible Japanese attack, but had to go along with a British orchestrated cover-up. You know?
How long, I got to ask a question. How long, first of all, was Fred Noonan kept with her? And secondly,
They were in the same prison. He had to get medical treatment, so they were separated because he had inflicted some serious injuries.
Yeah.
But apparently they were kept together. They were sent to Saipan together. They were in the same prison cell because of the translators. You know, the Japanese had limited translators they wanted to reserve for these two. They wanted to mainly spy on American naval operation.
Now, she
British
was...
Naval.
Yeah. All right, they were both executed. I would call it murder because they weren't at war.
Murder. Obviously, you know, I mean, what's the big deal, right? There was no war for another. Well, the World War II didn't outbreak for 2 years after that. So
that's right.
I think they were, in fact, I think they were in prison until just before Pearl Harbor, you know, or at the time. So they could have been released had Roosevelt made an appeal and apologized, you know. She'd be alive today.
Sickening.
Let me ask something.
I mean,
okay,
Roosevelt wash his hands of it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dick. Go ahead.
If this is 1937, wasn't the United States at that time setting up the war? I mean, we were cutting off
oil
to Japan.
Greater
so
Southeast Asia prosperity.
They knew well that there was going to be we weren't at war, but we were preparing for war.
Yeah,
and they had an intense interest in
the Marshall Islands,
Truk, Saipan. Mm-hmm. And this would be a perfect cover, wouldn't it? Oh, I'm a famous woman flying around the world.
Yeah.
And my plane is so heavy with all the fuel and everything I need that we couldn't have spy cameras in there. It would be too heavy. So, you know, and also, what better way to conduct surveillance than to mount a search? Oh, hey, we got to go search for Amelia Earhart. So we got to get some ships into the area. We're just searching for her.
Yeah, well, they did. They did mount a search in the Marshall. The Japanese had to cave in to all that international media pressure. So Roosevelt did get all the surveillance that he wanted of the Japanese new Japanese air bases and ports there in the Marshall. So, yeah, that happened. And as a result, the Japanese did not launch their attack against Pearl Harbor from the Marshall. They went directly across the North Pacific. So it did alter the war. But we have to see the British and Americans were not on the same page at the time. You have to understand, in 1937, Germany was supporting Chiang Kai-shek. Hitler supported Chiang Kai-shek in the Battle of Nanjing, Battle of Shanghai, against the Japanese. So the Japanese and the Nazi Germans were fighting each other at the time in China. And Britain wanted to keep Japanese on the side of the Anglo-American-Japanese alliance against Germany. You know, wanted the Japanese to fight. This is one of the secrets of the whole Nanjing Massacre thing, is that the Allies wanted Japan to wipe out the Germans in Nanjing and Chongqing, Nazis were heavily, you know, there were Nazi generals leading Chiang Kai-shek's army and arming them. So there was a conflict. The Americans wanted to protect their interests and the Dutch interests, you know, the Royal Dutch Shell in the Netherlands, whereas Britain wanted to keep Japan after Germany, essentially, you know, to control, you know, Britain's main objective was to keep Germany under control. So I think that this policy split was one of the reasons for all the sort of the crazy politics behind the Earhart scandal, essentially. Yeah.
Were they executed in a military sense? Do we know? Do we have any guesses? Were there any reports about? And
I believe they were both shot. They were both a firing squad, yeah.
And their remains, nobody knows. Nobody, no rumors about that.
No suggestion. No one's ever suggested whatever happened to the bodies and the remains. You know, there's a big sea out there. So
all right, let me ask you. Of course.
Yeah.
But maybe they were buried on Saipan. Who knows? I don't know. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, it's possible. It's very, anything is possible. There's a war going on. By the time they're executed, you know, Japan was fully preparing for the Pacific War. or might have even been engaged by then. You know,
but
at that time,
the bottom line is they were being held illegally, and ultimately they were murdered. They were executed illegally.
It was cold-blooded murder. I mean, she should have been released with great apologies and all that on both sides, and that would have been over. But this somehow was too embarrassing to the Roosevelt administration vis-a-vis Britain. Okay.
So FDR not only screwed us at Pearl Harbor, but he may have screwed us with Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan, too.
Yeah, this was a setup. And also, Amelia Earhart, in a certain sense, was a darling of the America First movement, which tried to keep America out of the war, out of any
conflict. That's Lindbergh.
The war had not started yet, but already there was, you know, a huge sentiment in the German Eastern European population to keep America from another European adventure. So, and Lindbergh, as you know, FDR did not like Lindbergh, you know? So,
it's
one of the famous grudge matches of all time. And she was sort of like Lindbergh's protege. So, there was every reason for Roosevelt, you know, to get disposed of her. Just let the Japanese take care of her, you know? And,
well, he got
Lindbergh was with her. Yeah?
He disposed of Pearl Harbor for intent.
Yeah.
Let me ask you one other question. This is important.
Mm-hmm.
Shinzo Abe, the Japanese higher ups, Abe, they know what happened.
Oh, absolutely.
And they could come forward now.
We're talking about it. Yeah, we just talked about it at lunchtime and at our newspaper. You know, I mean, it's known. You know, it's not like unknown. You know?
Yeah.
No one's whispering. You know,
I would say there really should be a demand made that the Japanese should admit what happened. If it embarrasses FDR's legacy and memory, too bad. We need the truth.
Yeah,
it's time.
A lot of major heads will roll over this one because it shows not only the duplicity of policy, but their incompetence. Yeah, their incompetence of policy. There's no reason for Earhart and Noonan to have died. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, they were just, you know, tossed off, yeah?
They were
tossed away like yesterday's newspaper.
Just like,
it's really sad, and the motives for that were very venal motives because he doesn't like FDR didn't like Lindbergh and stealing his thunder and all. Lindbergh was a bigger national hero than Roosevelt was.
That's true.
I hate to say it.
It's true.
It comes down
it's absolutely true.
That petty. That this great American hero. I like Amelia Earhart. I went to Purdue University. You know, that's a flight school. A lot of astronauts came there. There was Earhart. I used to walk past the Earhart Hall every day. She was a great hero.
She went
Purdue
to school there.
Airport there.
Yeah.
Was a great hub of flying, teaching women to fly, teaching everyone to fly, but women to fly. So, you know, I always admired her, and I could not understand, you know, why the truth about Earhart and could never come out. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad because she was a real, she was an idol. I mean, especially there. Yeah, and her alma mater. She's like a goddess to everyone there. Yeah,
Dick.
What were her politics? If
well, you
she
heard
was
it,
with the America with, First.
Yeah, Lindbergh.
She would not be wanting to get us into a war and wouldn't willingly.
Well, America
go on
First
a,
was to keep us out of the war in Europe. I don't know that it had much to do. This was prior to Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
When Pearl Harbor happened, America First kind of vanished in any case.
Yeah.
We had to go to war.
German-Japan relations were really, really bad until 1939 when the Ribbentrop-Matsuoka Pact, the non-aggression pact, was signed and the Axis was created. Before that, you see, the Marshall Islands, all the islands, many of the islands in the Pacific, Marshall Solomon, they were part of the German Empire under the Kaiser.
It's Kaiser, yeah.
And during World War I, Japan supported the British-American alliance and seized all those islands in the German colony of Shandong. So the Germans were appalled by Japan's, what they thought, ungentlemanly behavior of the Empire of Japan toward the Empire of Germany.
Uh-huh.
And the military officers, the Prussians especially, were incensed by Japanese, what they felt was a Japanese stab in the back in war, that the Japan should have stayed out of World War One instead of opportunistically going in there and then kicking out, incarcerating the Germans and kicking them out and then taking over pretty brutally. So, you know, so until 1939, at the time of Earhart's flight, I think the German, much of the German American community, including the Jewish German Americans, were incensed at the Japanese behavior toward Germany.
This is really fascinating.
Guess who owns that area of the world now? Guess who is the dominant force in the Sea of Japan, South China Sea, down to Indonesia, Philippines? That would be China. China has left America in the dust.
Well, I've just been out to South Korea. I can testify to that. All the flights along the Pacific coast, the civilian flights, are delayed because all these aerial games and radar games going on. So there is this whole standoff there, very reminiscent of the buildup toward World War II, you know. And
I was going to ask you about
the Earhart case is as relevant as ever. You know, politics are complicated. The Pacific is contested. There's a lot of history there. And a lot of pride, and also a lot of false flag attacks, a lot of deception, disinformation. So it's all there. And, you know, one of my big frustrations is to report on that, to show that, you know, I was just in South Korea showing this bad thing is just a tremendous, this anti-missile system is a tremendous deception, you know, with many layers of deception to it.
It's, you know, the reason the anti-missile successes have occurred is because the target drone warhead coming in at the THAAD missile, or which Aegis missile, whichever missile they're using, they've apparently admitted some time ago that they put transponders on the target warhead coming in so that the intercepting missile can find it.
They do. They're riding on the same radar beam.
Exactly.
Yeah, the transponder. So there's no problem hitting it. And the test zone's only 25 kilometers across. So let's say half of that is a target area. No problem. The whole thing is fakery, you know? And it's beyond, if I told you everything I found out, you'd be shocked. Okay, maybe I should just say it now. There are no THAAD missiles in Korea.
Really? The tubes are empty.
Raytheon is a total criminal operation. I hate to say it. Donald Trump organization is heavily invested in Raytheon. You know, so as long as Donald Rumsfeld and you know, the whole gang, Cheney and all. So, they use the X-band radio for espionage purposes. That's the main thing, to detect aircraft as far in as 1,000 miles into China, Russia, and so on. They've got
the THAAD missiles are a decoy. The tubes are empty, but they're using the X-band radar, which allegedly controls the THAAD missiles, to scan China. That's what they're doing.
In Russia, the Soviet Russia, Russia Far East and all that.
It's all there,
everything. Yeah, it's all there.
Wow.
So it's a terrible deception that's going on, and I'm afraid, you know, that these are the sort of deceptions that people who want a war want to deceive the public badly and don't want the truth to get out, and they're just looking for incidents. I wrote about the warm beer thing. He's another person that was casually used and thrown away, like Earhart was, you know? It's a terrible thing that, you know, like innocent people who are patriots or want to do exploration, they have good motives in life, are just used and abandoned. And I think that, you know, that's got to stop. You know, we just can't use people like this to help the defense industry on either side, whatever country you're in.
Wow. Dick?
So anyway, the Earhart story is, I think, I'm glad it's breaking. I really hope that she... I hope that a presidential letter of apology and correction does come out from the Trump administration.
Abe? You think that's possible?
No, he said from Trump, because FDR was involved with this and her fate, and that's what Yoshi's talking about now. Will Abe have to respond to it?
He still wants to win World War II. This guy's a total historical maniac.
He'll apologize for Amelia Earhart right after he apologizes for the Korean comfort women, which is not going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly the point. In fact, he'll say, send over some more of your female heroes. You know? I mean, this guy's a maniac. He has to be gotten rid of. I think a letter of apology from him wouldn't be worth, wouldn't be worth Japanese script they issued in the Pacific War. It wouldn't be worth that much. You know? So, no. I hope the American people, I hope the White House, the State Department finally you know, admit the truth about what happened, admit to all the deceptions that led to World War II, the conniving between the Americans, Japanese, the British, and whoever else, you know, and admit that she was a victim of this political intrigue between these great powers.
She was used and
thrown away.
We'd
be very thankful, I think, also the people of the Marshall Islands for keeping the truth alive, you know?
They
the
did.
People who haven't really—they suffered the war, the brunt of all these invasions and wars, and yet remain honest enough to tell the truth.
This
what I think it is that it's like Hitler in Argentina. The statute of limitations has run out. They don't care anymore, so they're letting the story come out. They're not officially. The government's not going to come out and say, "Oh yeah, well, Amelia Earhart, she was spying for us, and we let her be executed." They're not going to apologize for that, but they'll let it come out through the type of channel, like, okay, the History Channel, and the truth will come out and it'll seep in because it's been 70 years. Same thing with Hitler escaping. They don't care anymore.
Make no mistake about it. The U.S. government could stop the History Channel from running this documentary, or even having made it, if they wanted.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying they're. I'm just saying they're allowing it to come out.
Well, I think you're right.
There's no one left alive that's going to directly be implicated in it. It's
no accountability.
It's old. Yeah, it's like, okay, was it Jim Mars says the truth eventually comes out just when nobody cares anymore?
Yeah,
someone
interesting.
Said.
Yeah, it's Jim. By the way, for all of you who care about Jim, Jim called me while I was on the air here at the top of the first hour break, and we got to talk for about 6 minutes or so. And he's tough. He's tough. He's fighting the great fight. And he's holding his own right now. So hold good thoughts for Jim and pray occasionally if you do that kind of thing. He's a great man, and he's got a rough road, but he's up to it. He's a Texan. So yep. I was very glad to hear him. All right. This is a big story. I look at that photograph. I look at her sitting on the dock. They measured her back, her shoulders, all of that. It's obviously her, and Noonan, the hairline is so unique, his hairline, Fred Noonan's. So you just can't miss it. And there's a 2-minute, 3-minute trailer about this, and it's about the History Channel thing. Let me play a little bit of this, see if we can get some of it out here.
Jeff, I just appreciate the fact that you're treating Amelia Earhart, you know, as a hero in the light that she deserves and the truth.
Well, it is. She was, you know, she was betrayed. Okay, that's the word.
Yeah.
By her president.
And I hope you know that, like at Purdue, she remains a model for women everywhere, especially in America.
And more so now than ever.
As opposed to these political, these politically sly, double-tongued, females in politics. You know, Amelia Earhart didn't lie to anybody. She was a flyer. And she excelled at what she did. She made a lot of personal sacrifices. She was a great woman, a great American, and we should honor her memory.
Yeah, and you look at her sitting on that dockside, forlorn, the plane in the background, apparently. Just an extraordinary picture. Yoshi, thank you very much for sharing that.
We do not know what her sacrifice entailed. Had she not died there, perhaps it wouldn't have been Pearl Harbor bombed. It might have been Los Angeles and San Francisco, from that southern route. The Japanese Navy could have launched an even more effective attack on America. So
that's a very important point.
We don't know how history plays out or why it plays out.
No.
But she was definitely a heroine in her time.
Thank you, Yoshi. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Talk soon. Okay. Dick, get a final comment from you.
Well, she may have actually been braver than we know. She may have been a real hero. Set forth on a spy mission, don't they often tell spies, all right, you're going to go spy for us. If you're caught, we will disavow any knowledge. You're on your own.
That's traditional. Yep.
This is one of Amelia Earhart's planes as she flew.
Yeah.
And as a remote viewer, I'm interested in seeing the validation of the remote viewing, because as I said, we didn't just get one event. We worked it over and over and over again, and we just didn't get a plane crashing. We had a plane with a crash landing, but then we saw her injured. We saw her in the cockpit calling for help.
Could it have been Fred Newman you saw?
We saw her in prison. So it was the whole story unfolding, yeah. And we didn't understand it at the time.
Right.
Well, she crashed. No, she didn't crash. Well, wait, viewers said they saw a woman who'd been abducted who was being shot. Oh, we saw a plane being dumped overboard. It didn't make sense to us, and now it's beginning to make sense, and it will be very interesting to pull out all that data out of the safe and go over.
Well, if that plane was put back together and flown back here, which it might have been, that's another story. This whole thing is fascinating. Here's this. I've got this video finally straightened out. We'll listen to it just for a little bit.
Her navigator on the dock in the Marshall Islands. The person who took that photograph, they believe, was later executed for being a spy. And now, with history, we are revealing that photograph for the first time right here.
Amelia Earhart, on a globe-girdling flight with navigator Fred Noonan, took off for a hop over trackless ocean wastes and was never heard from again.
For 80 years, the world has wondered what happened to Amelia Earhart and her navigator Fred Noonan. In July 1937, they were over the Pacific on a round-the-world flight when they disappeared.
This photograph came out of a top secret.
But now, investigators from history believe they found evidence the two were blown off course and survived.
I have a photograph which I believe clearly indicates that Earhart was captured by the Japanese.
Retired Treasury Department investigator Les Kinney has spent 15 years looking for Earhart clues. While searching through formerly top secret files in the National Archives, he discovered this photograph from about 1937 marked Jolowet Atoll in the Marshall Islands, a string of small islands that at the time were under Japanese control.
We have a Caucasian woman with her back to the camera, sitting there, looking over towards the ship.
You think this is Amelia Earhart?
That's right.
Photographic analysts tell history the photo appears legitimate and undoctored. Former FBI Executive Assistant Director Sean Henry, an NBC News analyst, worked on the project.
When you pull it out and when you see the analysis that's been done, I think it leaves no doubt to the viewers that that's Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan.
In 1937, the Japanese had banned nearly all Westerners from the islands. But in the photo, it appears there are two Caucasians on the dock. A man standing on the left and what appears to be a woman with short hair wearing pants like Earhart sitting on the edge. Henry took the photo to facial recognition expert Kent Gibson, who first overlaid the photo of the man with file photos of Fred Noonan.
The hairline is the most distinctive characteristic. It's a very sharp receding hairline. The nose is very prominent.
The teeth, hairline, and nose all appear to match up.
It's my feeling that this is very convincing evidence. This is probably Noonan.
Then the person sitting with their back to the camera, with hair that appears too long for a man and too short for a native woman. Gibson compared body measurements with previous photos of Earhart. Again, striking similarities.
I usually go from not likely to likely to very likely to extremely likely. And I'd say this is very likely.
And there's more evidence. In the distance, the Japanese ship Koshu, which is towing a barge with something measuring 38 feet long, the same length as Earhart's plane.
Okay, that's the little video trailer that you can see at the top of Rents. Just click on it and watch it. The History Channel will air this two-hour documentary Sunday night. Dick, anything to add to this? This has just been a fascinating hour. Just fascinating.
It's really been a fun hour, and it's great how live radio works. I had no idea we were going to be talking about this when I woke up this morning. This all just came together, like, just now.
Indeed. All right. Talk soon, Dick. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Jeff.
Okay. Good night. All right. Wow. You just wonder how long she was held in prison. What kind of conversations there were, and how she met her end. Betrayed by FDR, betrayed by the war, betrayed by common humanity. How ironic. We will be back tomorrow night.